A search is continuing in Donabate in North County Dublin this afternoon for a missing boy who's presumed dead. The child, who would now be aged 7, has not been seen for the past 4 years. In a moment, we will hear from Dr. Helen Buckley, the chairperson of the National Review Panel, which will examine this case. But first, let's go to Donabate in North County Dublin and speak with our reporter, Sharon Lynch, who is at the search site. Sharon, tell us what has been happening there today.
Well, Justin, as you say, it's the sixth day of the search for this boy who would be around 7 years old now. Around 30 Gardaí arrived here at the site here again this morning, and they've been combing off a cordoned off section of the green site. Now, a mini digger is also on site here today. Now, that seems to be working in a location just outside where Gardaí are concentrating on. Now, Gardaí are been using strimmers and scythes to clear the heavy undergrowth and the long, thick grass for the past couple of days just near the Portran Road. Now, that grass has been scooped up and then dumped outside the part where Gardaí are focusing on. This search, of course, has intensified over the past couple of days. A cadaver dog, which is, of course, used to pick up and track the scent of human remains, that has been seen on site on different occasions yesterday and on Friday. Since yesterday, members of the Garda Technical Bureau were seen leaving the search area holding evidence bags. And 6 days after this piece of land was sealed off here in North County Dublin, Gardaí do suspect that the missing child is buried in this general area.
What are the weather conditions like there today, Sharon? How difficult is it for the team that is searching that land?
Yeah, weather conditions, I suppose, really aren't great just in this lunchtime. The rain has come in now, and it's a very open area where Gardaí are searching on that green site. It's very windy here on occasions, and it's not very bright here today either. I suppose there is floodlights surrounding the green site, so I'm assuming when it gets darker throughout the evenings that those will be switched on.
Sharon, thank you very much. That's our reporter Sharon Lynch speaking to us from Donabate in North County Dublin. Now, it emerged this week that the child at the centre of the search in Donabate had been in the care of the state until 2020, when a TUSLA case file on him was closed. TUSLA is now conducting its own internal review into the disappearance of the boy. The National Review Panel, that is the body which conducts reviews into child deaths and serious incidents, has also been asked to examine the case. The Minister for Children, Norma Foley, said that she had asked the National Review Panel to extend their review not just to TUSLA, but to any other state organisation which may have had contact with the child. And we are joined in our studio now by Dr. Helen Buckley, Chair of the National Review Panel. Good afternoon, and you're very welcome to the programme. You've been asked to examine the circumstances surrounding the disappearance of this boy who is now presumed dead. What information will you be seeking to find out?
Well, primarily we'll be looking at the review that TUSLA will conduct, but we also will immediately seek any records that are held by TUSLA. And when we receive those, we will start to refine our terms of reference, and we'll see what other agencies were involved and what other records we need to seize to request. And I can't preempt what we're going to do or look for in this, but our normal procedure would be that we compile a case chronology. And during the process of doing that, we identify people that we need to speak to and possibly further records that we might need to seek. So having done that, we conduct our interviews. And when we are satisfied that we have sufficient information, we start to draft an analysis and conclusions from the report.
Who will you be seeking to speak to as part of this inquiry?
Well, certainly TUSLA staff that have been involved, health staff from the HSE as well, and any other staff that have provided a service for the child.
And who will you be reporting to then at the end of the process?
Well, our normal procedure would be to submit our reports to TUSLA and HICWA simultaneously, but this report will go to the Minister.
Your task is to find out the facts, to identify also where lessons can be learned with a view to improving the quality of services provided to children and families. Are you satisfied that you will be able to conduct your investigation or your inquiry in parallel to a Garda investigation, which, as we know, is also underway?
Well, we normally, when there's a criminal trial or when there's a criminal investigation, we we consult with the Gardaí. The sort of matters that would prevent us or obstruct us or delay us could be if, for example, we wanted to interview somebody who's going to be a witness in a court case, because obviously we don't want to prevent a conviction being made. We don't want to, we don't want to prevent in any way the Gardaí from conducting an investigation. So, but we generally can cooperate. It doesn't usually stop us from conducting our review. We just take care around what the guards advise us to do.
When do you expect to have your work done?
Well, it can take up to a year to complete a full review. It's quite difficult. I could outline our process in a sequence to you. That sounds very simple. But, you know, there are often hitches and delays along the way if there are things that we can't achieve.
Will you be publishing the report when it's done?
The publication of the report, the decision about publication lies with Tusla and with the minister.
And is anybody else consulted in relation to publication? For example, yes. Would the family of the little boy in this case be consulted in relation to publication of the report?
I would imagine so. The normal course of events would be that the opinion of all the stakeholders is sought. Sometimes families don't want reports published. It very much depends on the amount of public concern around the case.
There has been some criticism of the ability of your body to get to the truth in this case or in related cases. The Children's Ombudsman, Niall Muldoon, has pointed out that your body, the National Review Panel, does not have statutory powers, so you can't compel anybody to talk to you. Is that right?
That is true, but I'm happy to set the record straight on what the Ombudsman said. He, in fact, I think, misrepresented our work by saying we had only 19 reports published, but in fact, if you look at our website, you'll see there are 90 reports published, most of which are systemic in nature, where it is necessary to be. Our focus is generally mainly on Tusla, but where other organisations such as schools, such as HSE services, such as CAMHS, public health nursing are involved, we will seek to meet with those as well. Generally speaking, they cooperate. And where the Ombudsman made a very valid point was we don't have a statutory footing.
And does that not raise questions then about your ability to get access to all of the facts? For example, access to medical reports, which might be relevant in a case like this?
I think in a case like this, as in the Karen Dernan case, we anticipate full cooperation. In general, though, we would benefit from a clearer legislative footing. I think all round our process would benefit from that.
What would that involve? I mean, what powers do you think you should have that you now don't have?
Well, I think we've three issues. I've raised these every year in the annual report, and these would be governance, interagency working and independence. Now, we do work very independently. Some of our panel members are from outside the jurisdiction, but I think the public perception of our independence isn't always as clear as it should be, and it would certainly help that. It would mean that we had probably faster access to records from other organisations, and we'd also have a more robust system.
Are there cases in the past where you have had difficulty in getting access to information because you don't have the power of compellability, statutory powers?
Well, as I said, our main focus is Tusla. What we also need to comment on is the interagency relationship between Tusla and other agencies. In cases where we have not managed to get records that we've requested, we are always in a position to make a comment on the interagency working, which is actually our main focus and our main purpose.
But there have been cases where you have been denied records.
Very few, very few.
Okay. You mentioned the case of Kyron Dernan. Mm. And you've also carried out a report into Kyron Dernan's death. Kyron Dernan, another boy who engaged with Tusla and who went missing and is presumed dead. At what stage is your report into Kyron Dernan's death at now?
Well, that report is now complete in its first complete draft. And we always undergo due process, which means that it's legally screened, it's screened for data protection, and then we have a factual accuracy checking process. So all of that is underway currently, and I would say in the next 5 to 6 weeks, the minister will have that report.
The minister will have that.
Yeah.
Will that report be published?
Well, I am informed by the department that the intention is to publish it.
And who will make that decision?
I think ultimately the minister.
And is that again something, because that, I suppose, if you were in a fully independent body, that you could make decisions like that yourself.
Yes, yes.
And that is something you would like to have, that power.
Yes, if we had the governance structure to enable us to do that, that's something that I think we should be doing, yeah.
And the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, Kieran Gallagher, has questioned the suitability of your body, the National Review Panel, in conducting this report. In the Sunday Independent today, she said that the National Review Panel is not operationally independent of TUSLA, has no statutory power, and its processes are not transparent. And she said that, the Ombudsman last week, it's simply not accurate to say that this is a powerful vehicle which can provide the answers needed in these serious cases. What's your response to it?
Well, my response is that we are operationally independent and we are transparent. We're not on a statutory footing, and that process is actually underway with the department right now. In terms of the powerful response that's required, public inquiries can be very expensive. They're adversarial. They're very long drawn out. The history of child protection public inquiries is not good, if you remember the Grace report that was published recently. But in actual fact, for anybody who's as old as I am, if you remember the Kilkenny inquiry in 1993, that was not a public inquiry. It was an inquisitorial, quite simply conducted inquiry. And that actually had the greatest impact on the child protection system in this country of any other report. So it really depends on the timing. It depends on the state of the child protection system at the time. The Kilkenny report came at a time when services were very undeveloped. And you had a minister, then Brendan Howland, who was very keen to develop them. So that was responsible for the implementation of the Child Care Act and the total reform of the child protection system. So I think it very much depends on the circumstances. Sometimes a report that's produced in a relatively short space of time that can identify learning points and conclusions is more valuable than a process that can last several years.
Do you anticipate that once your report into the death and disappearance of Kieran Dernan is with the minister, that report will prompt changes in the child protection system?
Well, I can't reveal anything that's in that report at this stage, Justin.
But would you accept that as things stand without the publication of that report, that there is an absence of transparency? We don't know what lessons need to be learned as a result of Kieran Dernan's case, or whether any changes will occur in TUSLA or any other state agency arising from your investigation. Do you accept that there is a lack of transparency?
Well, most of our reports are published. There are 90 reports on the website. So I actually don't accept that there's a lack of transparency.
And are you confident that your report into Kieran Dernan's death can be published without interfering in the ongoing Garda investigation?
That's very difficult for me to answer. But our focus was not on the actual disappearance or who caused it or who was responsible. So I imagine that it should be publishable.
You think it should be? Because if that is a Garda investigation which could go on for years, we don't know how long it's going to last. And shouldn't people have that report?
Yes, I agree. Yes.
And do you feel confident that could be published without interference?
I think so. Yes. I mean, it's ultimately a decision between the minister and the Garda commissioner. But in my opinion, yes.
Earlier this year, the Children's Ombudsman outlined the case for an alternative mechanism for reviewing deaths of children, one which would have statutory powers which would span across several government departments so that answers could be provided into how a child died without delay. Do you accept that that is necessary, that there needs to be a change in the system?
Well, yes, I know that the process that the Ombudsman is proposing emerged from the National Office of Clinical Audit, but their focus is mainly on patient safety and public health, which are very important, and it would be a very necessary process. The focus of the type of reviews we do is different because we don't examine a cause of death, for example. We examine the quality of services that have been provided for that child and family over the previous number of years. And we also review serious incidents. We're not confined to child deaths. And sort of serious incidents would be like a missing child, or it would be like the abuse of a child in foster care, or children who are sexually exploited when they're in foster care. So we'd have a much broader remit than that.
Do you think there needs to be an alternative mechanism for reviewing the deaths of children, one as along the line suggested by Niall Muldoon?
I do, yes. And I think a public health approach would be very important because it can deal with all sorts of safety issues for children.
Niall Muldoon said that the current arrangement whereby your panel investigates deaths is not a proper way to get to the bottom of an issue, that in relation to the two children we know about who went missing and are presumed dead, that there are serious questions to be asked, a lot of agencies that need to answer those questions, mm-hmm. and there has to be a faster way of getting those answers. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with him?
Well, I don't actually, because I think that the report, as you will see in a few weeks' time, was as extensive as is required to be. We've completed it within 10 months, which I think is a reasonable period of time.
All right. Dr. Helen Buckley, chairperson of the National Review Panel, thank you very much for coming into our studio today.